Welcome back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. In the Warren County Radio Bible School at this time, we are focusing our studies on Peter. And so I want you to turn to Acts chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, and 5, because they tell us so much about Peter in the early days of the church. And in doing this, we're going to learn some valuable lessons about Christ when we study Peter. And so, while you're turning your Bible to Acts chapter 2, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, as the class came to a close in our last class session, we were reading the sermon that Peter preached in Acts chapter 2. And I'm going to begin reading that again, beginning in Acts chapter 2 and verse 34, and I'll read down through verse 40. But this is sometimes called the first gospel sermon, in that it was the first time that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is preached. There's a structure to this sermon that is very interesting. In the very opening of this sermon, Peter quotes from the prophet Joel. And in Acts 2 and verse 21, he quotes where Joel said that it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There is a promise there, a promise based on a condition, the condition of calling on the name of the Lord. And Peter is going to preach that it is Jesus who is the Lord upon whom we shall call. But what does it mean to call upon the name of the Lord? Those who heard Peter preach that day were not presumptuous in assuming they knew what that means. We never read that they thought this meant to pray the sinner's prayer. They asked Peter, "What shall we do?" And Peter is going to tell them what to do to call upon the name of the Lord to receive that promise of salvation. Now, this is so clear and so fundamental. I tell you, we need to understand what we must do to be saved. God has done what He is going to do. And then He asks us, having provided this gift for us, "I will give this to you." And we say, "Well, Lord, how can we receive this gift?" You call on the name of the Lord. And what shall we do to call upon the name of the Lord? Listen to Peter preach. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 34, Peter said, "David is not ascended to the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, until I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet. Let all the house of Israel therefore know assuredly that God hath made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom ye crucified." Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ unto the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for to you is the promise, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call unto him." And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." Well, what was it that Peter told them to do? He had quoted the old prophet Joel in Acts 2 and verse 21, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And so when they asked, "What must we do to be saved?" Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins." And then he exhorted them. You know, we read in verse 41 of Acts 2 that they that gladly received his word were baptized. and there were added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls. Now that's how you call upon the name of the Lord. It's not what you say, it is what you do. You obey the Lord in baptism, and going down into that water and coming up out of that water, you are making your appeal to heaven for your salvation. And the promise is that you'll receive the remission of sins, and that gift of salvation from the Holy Spirit will be yours. And that promise was not just for the Jews of that day. You see in verse 39, it was to all them that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And we are called, and you are called. If you're listening to this radio broadcast, you're being called, even as you hear these words, because Jesus calls us by the gospel. And so, you knew what to do. If you had been there that day, you would have been like those that gladly received His word and were baptized. And if you had gladly received His word today, you will be baptized as well. Now, I want to begin in Acts chapter 3, reading about another sermon that Peter preached, and the things that followed in that wake, recorded in Acts chapter 4 and 5. So if you have your Bible, follow with me, beginning in Acts chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, "Now Peter and John, going up into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man that was lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the door of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked to receive an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength, and leaping up he stood and began to walk, and he entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they took knowledge of him, that it was he that sat at alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as he held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering." Acts chapter 3 and verse 12. "And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this man? Or why fasten ye your eyes on us, as though by our own power or godliness we have made him to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his servant Jesus, whom ye delivered up, and denied before the face of Pilate, when he had determined to release him. But ye denied the Holy and Righteous One, and asked for a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And by faith in his name hath his name made this man strong, whom ye behold and know. Yea, the faith which is through him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I know that in ignorance ye did it, as ye did also your rulers. But the things which God foreshadowed by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ should suffer and be, and he thus fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and turn again, that your sins may be blotted out, so there may become a season of refreshing from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who hath been appointed for you, even Jesus, whom the heaven must receive until the time of restoration of all things, whereof God spake by the mouth of his holy prophets that have been from of old. Moses indeed said, A prophet shall the Lord God raise up unto you from among your brethren like unto me. To him shall ye hearken in all things whatsoever he shall speak unto you. And it shall be that every soul that shall not hearken unto that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and them that followed after, as many as have spoken, they also told of these days. Ye are the sons of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham and to thy seed, All shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God having raised up his servant, sent him to bless you, and turning every one of you from your iniquities. Now that's the end of Acts chapter 3. I want you to notice that both in the sermon of Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 3, Peter made an appeal to the prophets of the Old Testament and quoted them freely to the Jews who believed that these words were indeed the words of God recorded in their Bibles. And so by appealing to the prophets, he was able to show that Jesus was the fulfillment of that prophecy. And I want you to notice that all those things the prophets spake pointed unto Jesus at this time and his resurrection and the establishment of his church and of his kingdom down through the ages. People have read those old prophets and then thought to themselves that they knew a fulfillment of them that maybe Peter didn't know. And they'll talk about a post-millennial reign, or a pre-millennial reign, or a reign on a rejuvenated earth that is all to come sometime way off into the future when the kingdom of God finally comes. But Peter points to all these things as being fulfilled in the resurrection of Christ and the establishment of his church. Well, we should take heed to those things and do what Peter says, to repent and turn to God. That word means to be converted to him. And we know what it means to be converted to him. It means to be transformed and to become a new creature, to be changed from one thing to another. And as Peter told them to repent and turn, he had previously told them to repent and be baptized. It's when you're baptized that the turning process is completed and you become a child of God and an heir of all those promises made unto the prophets. Now things follow in the wake of this preaching, particularly among the Sadducees, because Jesus is preaching the resurrection of the dead, and the Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. They were the power behind the ones that had Christ crucified, and now they're going to bring that power to bear upon Peter and try to silence him. Let's see what happens in Acts chapter 4 and verse 1. And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the people and the Sadducees came upon them, being sore troubled, because they taught the people and proclaimed in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they lay hands on them and put them in ward unto the morrow, for it was now eventide. But many of them that heard the word believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. Acts 4 and verse 5. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes were gathered together in Jerusalem, and Annas the high priest was there, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were the kindred of the high priest. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, By what power, or in what name, have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said unto them, Ye rulers and people of the people and elders, if we this day are examined concerning a good deed to an impotent man, and by what means is made whole, be it known unto you and all the people of Israel, it's in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We'll continue there with our next class.